Welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, an organizational psychologist, and I'll be taking you down a path towards achieving professional success while still having fun. For over a decade, I have been guiding individuals and organizations through professional transitions. The goal this hour is to help you, your business, or organization create a successful, engaging atmosphere without sacrificing a positive culture. So, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. And thank you for listening. Of course, I am Misha. And this show is all about leadership and professional development. Basically, everything you need to know to be a competent in your professional life. That can be including communication skills and personal productivity, leading without authority, emotional intelligence, and more. And by listening each week, you will acquire the unique tools to gain exposure to new tips and techniques that can help you in your professional development. So, Benny, how are you doing today?
Doing well. You did mention communications. That's what we do here best, and it's the key of life for some. I mean, really, if you don't have communication skills, well, then I don't know what you're doing.
Very true.
I mean, I guess you could be a great listener. You're on the other
side. Well, that's part of communication.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, we got to do a show on that one, too. I have a great one I want to do all around listening
like
and power.
Yep.
I know. It's going to be so fun. And today I am excited. Excited for two reasons. One is because of our topic. Last week, we just started tapping into millennials. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to dive into the millennials. And then the second reason I'm excited, because this afternoon I'm leaving for Hawaii.
Oh, lucky, lucky.
I know. And especially knowing all the rain we're going to be having here
I wouldn't be communicating very much if I was in Hawaii. I would just be laying there. I would just have maybe a sign on front of me just saying, keep feeding me more drinks. That's all.
That's what I'm hoping to do, a lot of relaxation and creativity, which reminds me. So then our show that we'll be doing there is going to be around creativity and innovation.
Perfect.
It will be. So that'll be a lot of fun. Okay, so today's show, we are going to be talking about the millennials. And so again, last week's show, we went into the generations and the differences between the different generations. And where we left off was the millennials, because mostly the millennials right now are the largest workforce in the largest population in the workforce. And so it's a big conversation. Everybody has questions around millennials, either if you are a millennial and trying to figure out, okay, how do I manage some of these older generations, or how do I deal with even the younger millennials? And then the older generations in the workforce are having sometimes trying to figure out, okay, what do I do with this quote-unquote entitlement-list generation, and how do we work with them and motivate them and so forth? So today we're going to be diving into then the characteristics of millennials, what we're finding research-wise, and also then we're going to try to kind of, you know, ferret out to, well, what's really going on? And then most importantly, so how can we understand millennials more? And for those millennials to also share, how can they share with us? And this is who we are. All right, so before we get into that, let me go over some other logistics. So you are welcome, and I do encourage you, if you would like to call in and ask any questions around millennials or give a perspective from a millennial's point of view, then the phone number to call is, if you're local in the Seattle area, is 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527. And if you are not in the area and wanted to call in, the toll-free number is 888-298-5569. Again, that's 888-298-5569. And also, just remember, too, if you do have a question and you don't want to call in, you can always go to my website, which is misharauser.com, and you can send me some questions there that I would answer on future shows. So that's a great way to share your questions as well. And also keep in mind, too, that if you miss, like, last week's show on generations or any of my other previous shows, you can listen to any of the past recorded shows by going to my website and downloading those, or by going to iTunes. And I actually did put them on iTunes. I committed to that last week, and so I was able to do that. So they are now up there, so you can podcast them and subscribe to that feed by going to iTunes. And again, it's just under the Misha Rauser Show. Okay, so those are some of my logistics. And so jumping into the millennials, what would be helpful then is what I would like to do before we start is, again, do a little grounding around what are the generations. And so my big thing, and I think what a lot of people get confused with, is that the generations, the traditionals, baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials, or Gen Ys. Where that came from is, again, based on historical events during the time that those generations were raised. So that helps influence and can kind of guide a little bit of that generation's behaviors, why they do what they do, some of their beliefs and values as they grow up. And so the generations are selected by based on these major events that happen. Again, so for example, the traditionals, which is the older generation, they were born in 1925, between 1945. Some of those things that happened during their generation was, the wars and the Depression, and that's a time where the country really came together and helped support one another. So it was a very strong sense of civic duty and of community. And then you go into the baby boomers, who were born in 1946 to roughly 1964. And again, these dates will vary depending on who you're listening to and what research is coming from. But for the most part, those are generally how they are. And so with the baby boomers, so they kind of, started rebelling a little bit against the system. And they're the ones that was like, I'm determined to have a better life than maybe my parents did. And so that started a lot of work, became really defined, the baby boomers. That's where workaholics came in and so forth. And also very much was the baby boomers started the generation and the kind of search for self-meaning. What am I trying to do? What is my, what makes me happy and how do I find that balance? Out of that then came Generation X. And Generation X was between 1965 and 1976. So what was happening then when Generation X was being raised is then most of their parents were either in the workplace, or also what happened with the baby boomers is that's when divorces started to become a little more prevalent. And so a lot of the Generation X's were the first ones to experience in divorces. And so this generation, the Generation X, was sometimes considered the latchkey generation, kind of left alone in a sense. So they were the ones that came home after school, and usually there wasn't anybody else around. And so they hung out with their friends, they supported each other, they were very techie. And so with that generation, what followed behind them is then Generation Y, or sometimes referred to as the millennials. And the ages for those are usually around 1977 to about 1999, although sometimes that goes a little bit later into the early 2000s. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about, are these millennials. So what were some of the things that were happening then with these millennials? And by the way, I teach this course quite a bit, and so I've probably have been in front of at least, I'm guessing, over 1,000 people that I've taught this course to. And I always find it entertaining because whenever I teach the class, I have them break up into their generations, which usually consist of the baby boomers, Gen X, and Gen Y. And then I have them kind of share with us then, okay, how do you, within a workplace, how do you want us to work with you? And how do you like to be communicated with? And what motivates you? And what almost always comes up then between the baby boomers and the millennials is, again, the baby boomers saying, the millennials have this entitlement sort of idealism and such. And, they don't realize how they have to work hard to get to where they're at. Whereas now on the millennial side, though, we need to keep in mind that what did the millennials go through? Okay, so during their time is they were going through then the 9/11 could be part of what they went through. They went through the boom of the tech boom, or bust, I should say. It was the boom and then it busted. So they saw a lot of their parents that might have been affected by that. And then, of course, you go into the wars in the Middle East and what's going on over there, and a lot of them questioning, because a lot of the world was questioning, okay, why are we getting involved? And then we go into the biggest thing that impacted them was the Great Recession right around 2007. So they've really had, in a sense, a tough time of things, of getting going. They're usually very optimistic, they have a great attitude, which some people contribute, well, that's just youth. And yes, that's true. But the millennials, and if you think about it, a lot of the millennials that I think a lot of people have worked with, they tend to be very optimistic. That, and they also tend to be very civic-minded. What I mean civic mind is they like to be involved typically in their community. What I'm going to do real quick is just kind of go through a list of some of the things that millennials do attend, you know, some of the traits that they do have. And then we're going to go into some more details around this. So just really quickly, some of the other things that millennials, some of the traits they have is they're considered very diversified. They have a lot more tolerance and they have to diversity. And I don't mean diversity just in ethnic ideas and our ethnic groups, but also diversity in ideas. They seem to be much more open-minded. Some people contribute that to the fact that they have so much more access to information that they've learned to be a little more diverse in their thinking and to be more open-minded to other ideas. Some other things about them, too, is that, you know, some people, they tend to be a little more narcissist, where thinking about me, me, me. Now, I'm going to argue that in a little bit, too, because I think that in some sense there's been a reason why they've been that way. In fact, let me stop there for a second.
Well, we chatted with that last week about the sense of entitlement.
Totally.
Right.
So in a sense, we got to realize we as citizens, as parents, as a community, helped create that. Mm-hmm. You know, not for good or bad. I'm not saying it's good or it's bad. It just is. You know, where, you know, the trophies, I know that's one pet peeve. It's, you know, if you were just on any team, you got a trophy. You know, so a lot of people, that was a pet peeve. Well, when we were kids, and you, Benny, too, we had to earn that trophy.
Yeah, we had a little bit of both. I remember the earlier of my sports career, if you want to use that analogy. Yeah, it was individual, like, you know, fastest skater or something. I'll use hockey because I played hockey. So, like, fastest skater, most goals scored, and that was it. Now it's like everyone gets everything. Like, oh, yay, sense of team effort. Totally get that. I totally get it. But there's something a little deeper behind the meaning of that, which for some it's just, oh, well, either it means just a trophy and that's it, everyone's awarded something, or, well, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Because of it, right?
Yes. So. And I think what society was trying to do at that time, mm-hmm, was to help people, or especially the younger generation, understand that, you know, give it your best. Let's try it. You're not, you know, even if you're not the best, it doesn't mean you can't do it.
Accept failure.
Yes.
Everyone can fail. You're learning more from it anyway.
Right.
Right.
And so it was, you know, just get out there and try. You know, we want you there. And again, you know, the feedback, we were giving a lot more feedback too. So in a sense, that trophy was, you know, for just a participation trophy, was thank you for trying.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
And I agree with it, yes. But I just don't really think it's necessary.
Yeah.
I think it might be leading a different image for everyone.
I think we kind of, as a whole, learned maybe that wasn't the best idea. And I, mm-hmm, think we are starting to come away from that a little bit more. But going back to, though, those kids were raised with giving those, you know, all you got to do is basically show up and you get a trophy. Mm-hmm. So that also, the narcissist, I think, also comes in a little bit, because we really did give them a lot of fabulous feedback, which is great. However, some of that feedback, like we were talking about, I think a couple shows ago, when we were talking about feedback, if you give feedback that isn't meaningful, meaning just good job, you're doing great, without actually attaching it to something, well, then, of course, the impression they're going to take is, I just have to show up and I do great. So what we also have learned during that time, you know, from this whole experience, is that when we do give feedback, we need to attach it to somebody so that they understand cause and effect. It's, you know, so getting away from cause and effect being just show up and we think you're great, to just show up and give it a great effort. And, oh my gosh, the way you kept persevering, the way you kept trying, the way you kept, that's what we're trying to reward. And that's the kind of the behavior we're trying to want them to emulate. Okay, so that goes, I think, why a little bit of the narcissist, I think we kind of learned our lesson on that. But we also got to realize, yeah, those of them that do have a little bit of that attitude, it's because we created it. So we got to kind of take some responsibility for that.
Right.
Okay, so then the other thing about millennials, too, is then the helicopter parent. That's where that came into. Because, again, remember that a lot of those parents that became helicopter parents were because they were the latchkey kids. Or, you know, they were the ones where their parents didn't see their games. They didn't even know. A lot of them, they just basically wrote the check and, okay, yeah, you're playing this game now. Let me know, how did it go.
It's kind of too bad, really, because I totally do not have that with my boys. at all.
See, but now how were you when you were raised? Because you were a Generation X.
Right, but I had, well, remember, I'm on the cusp, so that's I had a little bit of both. So maybe I'm not as the best of example. However, I was favored in both sides. So, like, my mom was there for more because she was more at the stay-at-home. And then my dad was a doctor, so he did more of the, you know. But he did visit a few of the games, but it was a little more difficult for him in his profession.
Right.
He had longer shifts. They were outside the normal of our, you know, childhood playtime. So at least we had one of our parents, one of the two there.
Right.
Or a neighbor or something. So it's like, you know, we weren't completely... not protected or guardianized, I guess I should say, or, you know, have them representing us or friends. But I never knew any of my friends that never had a parent not there for them.
Right. And so. That, and you totally nailed that then, too, is it part of it was, like, for me, it was a single mom, so she couldn't. She couldn't come to my game.
Right.
She had to work. And so I was going to be damned if, you know, I wanted to be there then for my kids. And even for you and a lot of the other population is like, well, my dad couldn't quite be there because his, the, you know, demands of his job. That also now is also being shown then with millennials where they really do want that balance. That's one of the things that's important to them with a career. Give me some flexibility so that I can be with my family because family is very important to the millennials. In fact, some research even shows that that trend has changed quite a bit. Whereas, so for example, back in 1965, the average dad spent 2.5 hours parenting. Okay, and I think that's like in a week. And the average mom was 10.2 hours. Whereas in 2007, the average dad went from 2.5 hours to 7.3. And the mom up to 13.5. Showing again, the you know, that this is a priority to us. We want to spend more time with our kids.
And I think position of jobs have increased for the women in the workforce, and also like the roles have flipped in the household versus you didn't have your traditional man or husband or male run that portion of the life, you know, of the breadwinner.
Totally.
Now the breadwinner has moved on over to the other side of it, or parent, I should say, companion.
In fact,
whatever the relationship could be.
Exactly. And in fact, so also studies have shown that there's a lot more women now who are the sole breadwinners in a family. And that's become totally acceptable.
Fine by me. I'll stay at home and watch the kids. Great. You go get that money, girl. I'll stay at home, sure. You got no problem with that.
It is totally. It's like, why not? You know, my husband and I have been great. We've always tag teamed, you know, like.
And that's good, too.
Yeah. It's like, okay, now it's your turn and I'll go back to school and you do. And I think a lot, that's one of the things, too, is we're trying to bring back, again, talking about that balance. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a pause here for a moment. And again, you're watching the meet. You're watching. You're listening
to. Actually, you could be.
You
1150 KKNW.com. We do have a live web stream.
Oh God, does that mean that real thing's really live?
You're gorgeous, yeah. But it's not,
oh,
it's
I didn't realize that was live.
No, it's just,
okay, well, you could be watching this too. But you're listening to the Misha Rauser Show, where we're talking about leadership and professional development. And we are today talking about millennials. And we'll be right back after this break.
So effective leadership isn't something that just happens. It takes time and effort. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has developed a concentrated series of courses to help you become your best as a leader and professional. Explore your leadership style, become a communications master, and learn to plan strategically in order to make better decisions. You'll learn emotional intelligence, team building, change management, and other skills for personal success, such as conflict resolution. There's a great leader inside you to be unlocked. Make the commitment to become a well-rounded, intelligent leader. Show the world around you that you are ready to lead. Log on to MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com to learn more. It's the Leadership Development Series. Your first step toward professional excellence begins at MishaRauser.com. In a time of deep political and social divisions, Humanities Washington helps communities connect, understand, and learn from each other through lectures, discussions, and literary events based in the humanities. Throughout the state, each year, Humanities Washington hosts programs that dive deep into current issues, giving context and new perspective through the lens of history, literature, poetry, and philosophy. Each event emphasizes in-person conversation away from the distraction and partisanship of the online environment. Join us for Think and Drink events at Naked City Brewery in Seattle's Greenwood neighborhood or Engine House No. 9 in Tacoma to discuss current issues and ideas. Or you can also visit your local library or cultural organization to hear speakers on a wide range of topics, from the role of women in shaping Washington state politics to the meaning of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Or hear original short stories from Northwest authors in the fall at Humanities Washington's Bedtime Stories event. Go to humanities.org to learn more and to find an event near you.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rouser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rouser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Misha Rouser Show, and hello, I am Misha. And again, if anybody would like to call in, the phone numbers are, you want to do it for me this
sure.
time, Benny?
Sure, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569, conveniently spells out KKNW, and that's us right here.
See, you have such a nice little dingy with it. It's so much more exciting than when
nice
I talk about
it. A nice little dingy when I like that little, little spring to my step, what I say.
There you go. Okay, so we are talking today about the millennials in the, especially in the workplace, but trying to understand more of who the millennials are, their characteristics, and it's kind of some of the bad rep that some of them have gotten. So a couple things also, then let's continuing on with why it's important too is, again, millennials, they are, you know, as far as we were talking earlier, in the workplace, they are the dominant workforce now, you know, in the workplace. And within the population, they're one-third of the population. And so some of the other things that also that are characteristics of the millennials, we were talking a little bit about that entitlement and that narcissist. And, you know, one other thing that has been, I think, speaking of that, with the narcissist kind of attitude, is then in the academic world, there's this, it's so fun to watch. There's this little debate going on. Is our millennials a generation we or a generation me? It is actually entertaining to read. They will deliberately be writing articles kind of, no, it's not the generation me. That person is totally wrong. And then the other person, no, it's not the generation me. That person is totally wrong.
Which, I feel they have no clue about we.
And why do you say that?
I don't know. I just have a sense of feeling on just social media and how it all is and people interacting. It's just like they can't pull away from it. So that's a me effort. The we is obviously the combine of them, all of it doing it.
Yeah.
So as far as communication for us, I see that just operated a little differently. You go out, I mean, a good classic example, when you go out to dinner, do you know how many people are on their phones? A lot. Because they're like probably texting or Facebooking the person next to you. You're right there. Why do you have to send them a picture of your food? Look over. It's right there. It's not important. The important is the now time, and that's me for those at the individuals at the tables. This is just me. I'm old school. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, you could put it down for a little bit. Yes. I'm getting all worked up. This is your show. I don't want to get
No, you're doing good.
But it's like, oh, I mean, I use my phone here because I have to keep in touch with, you know, my kids and stuff like that. And if they're at school, I mean, and I'm on the air. That's the easiest way for me. Socially, I'm online for, you know, your show and all my other shows here and the other things that I do. But once I leave work, I am rarely online. I'm out at the parks with the boys. I'm at the grocery stores with the boys. I'm doing my errands. I'm running around. You know, I'm fixing the car. I'm away from all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably just because I'm oversaturated with it during my shift. So I've learned to accept to get away from that. But then there's people that do it all day long, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's part of my life. I'm like, have fun with that.
And, you know, again, everybody's a little bit different.
That's true.
Now, I'm not a millennial, but I'm going to try as best as I can to speak on behalf of the millennials.
All right, here we go.
Really, I think a lot of them are, in my opinion, I'm thinking they are more of a we. And this is great that you're thinking they're more of a me, so that we have some
clash.
We're pushback here, which is wonderful. I think social media, if anything, has made them even more connected with people. I mean, they take some of those relationships. They probably have more relationships than we do. Now, questionably, how deep are they? I don't know.
That's what I'm getting at. See?
Okay.
You could have 500 friends.
Have you
ever met any of them? No. They're all online.
Which is true. But they tend to have, you know, those friends that they do keep in touch with more often. I got to admit, I like social media for that because I am so busy. I don't have a lot of time to spend one-on-one with my friends. Can be, you know, hey, that sound looked like that was a great hike you did or whatever. It is great having the social media to keep in the loop with all
exactly.
of your friends 100%. And family.
Especially when families are growing and bigger and you want to see kids that are born and blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah. And it's wonderful. So I do like social media. I agree with you that it is kind of weird when they're texting the person next to them. But I don't think not everybody does that. But now let's go into some surveys or some research, too, though, that when we're talking about the, like, high schoolers, especially, and this, some of this research goes back quite a ways, a lot of the high schoolers, and especially for these millennials, really did see themselves as wanting to contribute to society. They, you know, friends and family were very important to them. And so, but now when we go into those scholars that say, no, the only reason they're saying they want to contribute to society is because they know that is what looks good on their college applications. The only reason they're going out there and doing, you know, this kind of work is to get into the right college. Okay?
So that's their only sense of priority.
That's what some people argue. Now, with a lot of the millennials that I do know, for example, in high school, I'm very involved in Rotary, and so we have a Rotaract, in high school. And, some of the kids would show up because, you know, their junior, senior year, so that it would look good on their applications.
Yeah. And that's going out of their way to make sure that they're important enough and known. Like, for me, internship is big around here for the radio station and TV stations.
Yeah.
If you don't intern, you're not getting your foot in the door. You don't obviously really want to do the job then. But you do it for free, or you get school credit. I know I had to do that. And so that's still a great internship, and we really support that. If you're really interested in the job, that's where you come into. But we're not just going to give you the job.
Right.
Yeah, you've got to earn it.
So with internships or with volunteering in the communities and such, and again, I had one millennial tell me, he was actually president, he was incoming president for his Rotary Club, and he was saying, you know what, I joined Rotary for all the wrong reasons, you know. Because I joined it so that I could grow my business.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, but in the meantime, I love contributing to the community. I love being able to help run this
mm-hmm.
club.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, maybe I joined for the wrong reasons, I'm doing the right things. So
you're getting out there. It's a community access. I mean, that's basically what I mean. I do that. I do a lot of public services. I used to be part of the Sambassador crew for Issaquah Salmon Days. I was, part of the festival committee. And I just did it just to have fun and just to meet other like-minded people.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I didn't get paid for it, but just did it.
So then is it a we or me? You know, like in this gentleman's what he was saying, you know what? I had to justify being able to do it, that it would help my business. But once I could justify that. Yeah, I'm all in. Now I have an excuse to be able to do all these things. So again, it's a little bit of a we and a me. And in fact, this was also interesting, is so Rotary has been, you know, it's like almost 100 years old. It is 100 years old. And they've been looking at, we want to get more younger people involved within Rotary. Mm-hmm. And they hired these consultants, and I would love to get my hands on that research. But I do know that one of the things that came out of that research is when they're talking about the younger generation, the millennials, what appealed to them, especially when doing some type of civic work, the one thing that was turning them away from Rotary is Rotary's tagline is service above self. And the millennials didn't relate to that. And what that came down to was because in Rotary way back when, remember, who started Rotaries was a traditionalist. It's all about community. It's all about coming together, and you must serve first. Where with the millennials, it's like, no, I'd love to serve, but it does not come first. Family and friends come first. I thought that was a great, then, example of this debate between the we and me. Were there a little bit of both?
Okay.
So I thought that was a good one, where I believe, then, from the millennials I've met and from some of this research and starting to put it together, that they really are family-oriented. They do care about the community. They want to know that what they're doing makes a difference. But family is going to be first. And then friends usually follow from that. So anyway, that goes back to kind of that big, are they a generation we or a generation me? I'm going to argue they're a little bit of both. The me helps drive the we. That's the way I like to look at it. Okay, so let's talk about some other things. So also, I want to stop for a second and say, so yes, we don't have a millennial to talk with. And I wanted to share that last week we had a caller, Mike, called in. And I also got to disclose, okay, so Mike and I do CrossFit together. He's a great guy. And when I first started doing these shows, he was all excited because at CrossFit, we don't talk about work. And he's in HR and all into organizational development. So all of a sudden, he's like, oh, my God, this is so great. And then when he heard I was doing millennials, he's like, I'm calling you to your show. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, too. And it was great having him call in. Well, since then, he has been so psyched for this week's show. He's like, I am going to be your token millennium. In fact, he's like, I'm Michael the Millennial. And he wanted to call in, and unfortunately, his work, you know, kind of trumped that. And he has apparently some inspection or audit or something coming in, and they're starting this morning at 9 o'clock, so he couldn't call in. But he did send me, though, he had some questions, so I wanted to let's do some of his questions.
Yep, and, Mike's question.
Listen. And here's the thing too, I would love, and you know, when Mike does get to listen to this, Mike, I do want you to call in relatively frequently into the show to give your perspective.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think I love his attitude about all this. Okay, so anyway, his question, he's like, hello, this is Michael the Millennial. Love that. And again, he was hoping to be able to call in, but he was unable to. So he said, I'm wondering if you could comment on the following. And he had some questions. A recent report by the White House found the following. Millennials are sometimes characterized as lacking attachment or loyalty to their employers. But in fact, contrary to popular perceptions, millennials actually stay with their employers longer than Generation X workers did at the same time. Or, I'm sorry, at the same ages. So, one, I wanted to point out. So, Michael had found this amazing report that was put out by the White House, and it's actually put out by the Council of Economic Advisors. It's a 2014 report, October of 2014. Of course, I had to look this up to see, okay, is this really real or did they just put this presidential seal on this document,
hey,
right?
Way to find your source, though.
Fabulous organization. So if you haven't discovered this, they come out. So this Council of Economic Advisors, you can go to the website, just Google them, Council of Economic Advisors White House, and you go to their website, and their job is to create reports that to give to the president and for then also to report back to the people. This is why the president, you know, why we are recommending certain procedures and policies. Fabulous information. They came out with this document in October 2014 of the 15 economic facts about millennials. Interesting stuff. Okay, so what Michael, the millennial, is referring to is that one of their reports is it does say that millennials are staying with their employers longer, which I think is really interesting because I know some high techs are having big issues with a lot of quick turnover. So let's put that aside for a second. I want to come back to that. But when we're talking about this, that here's what if you look at, again, the big picture of why this is in this report, and there's a few other reports, is let's go back now to looking at what the millennials have had to overcome. Okay, so one, they have realized, you know, a lot of their parents understood the value in higher education. So a lot of the millennials went to college. And in fact, the millennials are the most educated generation. So 47% have completed a higher education, which is fabulous. Okay, so here they go to college. They take on all this debt because, again, they were looking at the return on investment of taking on this debt, which, by the way, now the debt, the loan debt has surpassed $1 trillion. Hmm. It is considered to be the second largest household debt right now is educational, you know, student loans.
Yeah.
Okay, so now imagine, here's these millennials. They're taking on all this debt because of this promise, quote, unquote, if I do good in school, you know, they have had their parents help them, you know, get the right grades, get into the right colleges. They take on this debt to get out, and they started doing pretty good, you know, in the early 2000s. They're getting they're hitting the ground running, and then, of course, what happens? The Great Recession.
Right.
Highest unemployment rates. Okay, they have, you know, the jobs are falling through. So now they have all this debt, and they just hit a wall that went on for a number of years. So now think about it. They've gone through this whole thing where so many of them, and we all know millennials that are still trying to get into the workplace. And so, of course, once they do get into that workplace, it almost goes back to a little bit of those traditionalists of valuing having a good job. Okay, now here's what, so now going back to Michael's question, or, you know, his comment about that, about, you know, we need to change that perception and that bad rep of millennials of how they just turn over quickly in their jobs. It's all about been there, done that, and they're just moving on. There is an element of that. But for the most part, a lot of them are so grateful also of having a good job. Now, with that being said, here's the other thing, though, that I found, which was really cool and interesting about millennials, is they're not going to just take any job. I mean, if they have to, they have to. Luckily, a lot of them still have parents. They have great relationships with their parents. So now we can get into this whole debate. So you got the parent that still has the millennial sleeping in their basement because no job is good enough for them.
Right.
Yeah, Vinny's
this is what
his
I hear.
Face.
This is what I hear all too often. That's why I supported the other side.
Yeah.
It's like you can't get out of the house and make your own money and go do it. Well, I mean, I have a job, yeah, but I'm trying to save up. And it's like, you can do that while out on your own, out of the nest. Mom and dad want their nest back. I mean, but I get it. There's that good relationship like I do with my mother. But I also, like, when I came back from college, I was there for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I knew I had to get out.
Yeah.
Because that's her space. And I have my space.
Right. And her job is done. She raised you. You're
exactly,
on your own now.
Exactly. And she's like, you know, I always have a place for you. You know, you're always welcome. If you need to come get a sandwich or something like that,
yeah,
that's totally fine. But, you know, her space, her personal space is her personal space. And I felt like I kind of need my own now, too. So therein lies the more, like, are you more of a friend with your parent or are you still a child or with your parent? Is it a still parent-child relationship?
Yeah.
Or are we friends? I have friends going out, you know, partying and hanging out with, you know, their parents. I'm like, isn't that weird? No, we have a great time. I'm like, okay, have fun with that. I find it really awkward.
Yeah.
And the condition I could be in, and my mom or dad seeing me in that same situation. But I get, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, make it work for you.
And you nailed that one, too. Okay. A lot of the millennials, and this came a lot of different reports, have very strong relationships with their parents. Okay, that's cool.
I think it's great.
That's awesome, actually. That's one thing that I think that we went away from as a culture, mm-hmm, of just, yeah, you know, kicking the kids out of the nest, yeah, and off we go. And what happened to family?
It's that level of respect, though, still, that is kind of untaught, but it should be, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you should still, you know, you're the parent. You're the one that's driving the car, so to speak, you know, and then you're the child. I mean, I'll still lead you down that road, obviously, from learning experiences and trials and tribulations and whatever you want to call it. But that's where you still got to draw the line. They'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get it. It's tough love.
It's tough love. That's exactly it.
I'm a fan of tough love. I mean, there's sometimes where you don't want to, but I know in the end it'll craft things a little different and operate better, I think,
yeah,
for the child and for the parent, too.
Yep.
So.
And so, yes. Yeah, so, you know, with Michael's point, mm-hmm, of saying, yes, millennials are much more dedicated and so forth, I would say yes.
I agree.
There are definitely sure. those. And then just like, but this is like every generation. Then you have the slackers that are just aren't motivated to do anything.
And I think that's a small percentage as well.
I do too.
But as far as like Michael's concerned, or at least how they are into the job right away, from my standpoint, I feel like from my position and where I've gotten in my career should not just be given to anyone. I think there's a level of deserving up to that level, like from the internship on up. But they think that, oh, I can do your job. That's easy. Well, I'm sure it is easy because you're used to like fast-paced life or whatever. But I've earned the right to be where I'm at.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be. And so that's where that respect value should be.
Yeah. And, you know, and part of that, too, is youth. I mean, I remember being in my 20s sure. and looking at my managers like, oh, they're such a loser. I could do a much better
yeah,
job.
Right. They have no clue.
And it's so funny how that comes around. Because
well, it's the parent-child relationship, too.
Totally,
thinking
yes.
they could drive anything, but no, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, same scenario.
Exactly. So part of that is we can't just label on millennials. That's just being young. Now, with that, though, too, is there definitely is, though, this a little bit of this has been shown over and over and over again, too, is that we as parents did tend to coddle them a lot more. I mean, that's a big thing, like on college campuses. We had a woman that came over. She was the head of the dean of students of Stanford University. Mm-hmm. She says this isn't just Stanford, but of all places, you would think Stanford would have much more independent kids. She's like, in the last 10 years, we're noticing, and I even call and talk to other colleges mm-hmm. or, you know, and universities. Are you noticing this too? Where the kids can't make decisions on their own without talking to their parents. You know, it's like, okay, before they used to just, the parents would drop them off and leave. Mm-hmm. And that would be it. And you're considered an adult. You are an adult. You're 18 years old.
You should be considered that. Legally.
Yes. So now this is also tends to be a gripe then with managers in the workplace. And here's what's going on with part of that then. Is so we have been really good at giving them feedback. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents have given good feedback. Okay, now some haven't, and the kids can't make their own decisions and can't, you know, do their own thing. But let's go back to now. Okay, now, so imagine, here we go. You have this kid working their way through college. During college, they're trying to wean themselves from their parents, but they're still used to their parents being right there and helping them through this. Now they go into the workplace, and they're still really, I kind of hate to say this, but there's been research that has supported this. Managers, they are looking at you to be this pseudo parent. And here's the thing is if you're not, then you're probably going to have their parent calling you. We have that in the military.
Yeah.
She's like, their parents are calling in the military. You know, they're now working, you know, they're in the military and their parents want to come to their interviews with them. Their parents want to come and talk to their bosses. And you would think the military would have separated that. But no, so here's what's going on with that. Now, there's the one side where, yes, they've been too coddled, and they just have a way overprotective parent, and you almost got to blame the parent. Okay, let's put them aside. They're the outliers. But here's what is happening, though. They have been so used to their parents saying, hey, you can pick which school you want to go to for college, but here's the ones I recommend and why. And then they will tend to choose, and they'll work their butt off to get there. So now when they come into the workplace, they're still looking for that guidance. What exactly do you want me to do and what is that going to look like? And then let them go and they'll figure it out on their own. Don't hold them back, in fact, because they are so creative. That is one of their number one priorities in a job is, can I be creative? Okay, so looking at all of that then is it's huge for them to be able to do that, mm-hmm. but also for a manager. Just remember they're young, because the one that has happened to everybody who is young is coming in. We all had to learn the ropes. My first boss taught me so much about work ethics.
But see, that's what I'm trying to defend here is if you're going to start from the bottom, you're going to learn so much more in the long run, and you'll have more power even if you decide to leave that job and jump over to something else. Again, the respect and the priority of where you're at.
Exactly.
It's a totem pole.
It is. Okay, so I think we are late going to a
break. Yeah, we rambled on a little too long.
Are we okay to in our break, squeezing it in?
Yeah.
Sorry, gosh, that's so bad. Okay, so again, you're listening to the Misha Rouser Show. We're going to be right back right after this quick message.
I search for the beat in this dirty town. Tell me, oh, what's that going downtown? Dynamic careers in organizations require dynamic thinking. Success is measured in terms of positive, productive, meaningful workplaces. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has helped thousands become more confident in their leadership and professional abilities. Misha's years of research and private practice have given her the tools to help you or your organization improve performance. Log on now to learn more about coaching, consulting, or training with Misha Rauser at MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I
want to
be
a...
I
want to
be
a...
I
want to
be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rauser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rauser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Vinny, you're so great with the music.
It's just fairly appropriate for what we're talking about in generations. It's Kids of America. Or anywhere, really.
It really is. And that's, again, we got to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to try to blame this millennial thing, but also it's just youth. Okay, so
I'm not really blaming. It's just more just proving my side better.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're so bad.
I know.
All right, so welcome back again to the Misha Rauser Show about leadership and professional development. And what we are talking about today are the millennials, and especially, mm-hmm. you know, understanding more of the millennials and where they come from and in the workplace. Mm-hmm. How do millennials deal with us older generation and vice versa? And so I want to go into, in this last part, so Michael the millennial, who was unable to call in today, he sent me one of the questions that I want to make sure and get to. So here's his other question. He says, I think other generations seem to forget that most of us attempted to start our careers during a major recession. This, in my opinion, drastically shaped our perspective on what types of organization to work for. Before we made an economic investment as picking an organization to work for, we thought very critically about our choice. We demand corporate social responsibility. We demand exciting and intrinsically rewarding work. We demand work-life balance. More so than ever, companies are making these strategic priorities, thanks in large part to our style of thinking. How is this not a good thing? So why are these demands, which appear to drive positive organizational behavior, are still viewed as bad? Okay, now, first I got to pause and say, that was just brilliant.
Yeah, no,
okay?
Really well said.
Very great. I mean, mm-hmm. that, I think, models millennials, they're educated, they're diversified, they're thinking about the world.
Sure.
They want to see a difference. And in the meantime, those baby boomers and some of us others are like, first thing, I almost had to stop, like, all these demands that they're asking.
Well, weren't they acting like that in their youth?
Yeah.
During their time? Okay, so point on point, right? I think also Mike has another excellent point, but if you are going to demand those or respect those issues in the workplace, you got to vote, though, too. And which I've been seeing, there's been a decline in voting. So there's a lot of talk, which is a totally separate subject. Let me just
yes.
put it out there. There's a lot of talk of what they want, but there's no action from them per se because They need to go out there and vote for themselves and do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but that can be in corporate voting for, you know, the higher ups, the levels of management on how they are hiring. That's all voted within too. I mean, if you have a big enough company, so to speak. But he does have a very, very good point.
And I love what you were saying too. There is what you made me think about is, again, Gandhi, see the change you want, or be the change you want to see in the world. And, you know, now we're going off base just a little bit here, because really that's just America. We can't say that to just the millennials. You know, that's just one of my pet peeves. You have all these people, especially right now, and we're not going to get into politics, but around, you know, there's so many opinions of what they want to see done. And then in the meantime, they're just sitting on their the armchair critic. It's like, get out there and do something. Mm-hmm. Whereas I would say a lot of millennials are kind of taking that to heart. I can think of a lot of them that are doing something about it. Okay, now, on the other hand, I can't think. It's just like, you know, again, our great American culture of some of them aren't, you know. And so there's that one aspect of that you talked about, Benny, is be the change that you want to see.
Right.
So when you're demanding these things and you go into your workplace and so forth, I can totally honor that. Mm-hmm. But then also be that change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means speaking up for yourself, speaking your truth, which, again, we did an episode on that. Mm-hmm. So if that's something you're struggling with, go back and listen to that one. But here's another big one then before we leave, though, and I think this is another pet peeve, is, though, the respect. And Benny and I, we were talking about that a little bit on the break.
Yeah. And from my standpoint is like everyone has a vision or a voice. There's an appropriate time and place for that.
Yes.
You know, and with the so-called, you know, oh, I'm friends with my boss and we go hang out and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, you still have a level of respect there. Like, I mean, I've golfed with my general manager, but I never was like all super chummy with him. I still respected him. Even though we were outside of the workplace, he offered for me to go play with him. It was a good time. But I never let myself be up to his level just because I didn't want to. I just felt like it was not the appropriate time. So that's what you also need to keep in mind too. So if you want, you know, from there's a 5 manager level in your company and you want it down to 3, you know, you think it's just better. Well, you could send an email or craft that, you know, but just be appropriate on the time and place on when you mention those ideas.
Yes.
That's all. Just respect. But that needs to be taught, I think.
But it does need to be taught. And that is the key. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we're talking respect, okay, yes, a lot of millennials say, I will respect you, but you need to earn it. Okay, now that's actually going into mentoring, why mentoring can be so good. Because if you have an older person, you know, a baby boomer or a traditional, having them mentor a millennial can be huge. And that's one way to really help, you know, kind of bridge that generational gap. However, the millennials really need to respect them. Okay. Now, with that being said, millennials also need to learn. There is just an element of respect that kind of naturally comes with being older. And I think we're changing that a little bit in the way that we're raising millennials. But for a while there, I think there was an element of, oh, well, they're just young, you know, so they're not, you know, so the respect part, we almost poo-poo that they don't need to respect because they're young and learning, when that is the time for them to be learning.
Right.
You know, like my daughter was having an issue with one of her coaches and she didn't agree with what he was doing and she was ready to start it, and she actually kind of did because, you know, they do this little boycott thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there weren't a lot of parents, except for me and a couple others, that basically told these kids, you know what? It doesn't matter. He's the coach. You do what he says.
Yep.
You know, where the other parents wanted to get involved, you know, but the coach doesn't know what he's doing. And dad, I'm like, no, you're just listening to your kid's perspective. Mm-hmm. Stop supporting that. He is the coach. So there's an element that we have got to also help the younger generations,
right,
not just millennials, learn what respect is.
Time and a place for it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so a couple things then. So that was a fabulous, and now we will hopefully have Michael the Millennial.
Come on, buddy.
On other shows to always bring in that millennial perspective.
Supporting him, though, if he wrote in all his questions, he's working very hard. So we appreciate him respecting being the millennial, and he's hard at work doing his thing. So that's why I'm in favor of him.
I got these at like 11 o'clock last night, and are they not beautifully written? You can tell there was a lot of effort and thought put into this.
He's dedicated
eloquently
to his image.
Spoken. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep.
Just love it. Okay, so a couple other things to let you know before we wrap up. So, again, We are, all of these shows are live, so I would love to have anybody call in. Our next show is going to be on creativity and innovation in the workplace. So not only how do you help to create that within your workplace, but how do you foster that within yourself as well? So if you have any questions on that, please plan on calling in next Tuesday between 9 and 10 o'clock, or send me your questions on my via my website. And then also, again, remember, these are all live, so you can download past shows. And you can go find those on iTunes. In fact, please consider rating my podcast on iTunes with a 5-star and leaving maybe a 1 or 2 sentence review on iTunes or Stitcher. As you know, this will help tremendously and bring the podcast to the attention of others. So really, I would appreciate that. And if you do, I will be sure and mention your names on my shows. Okay, so we are...
Yeah.
I think that's everything.
That'll do it for today.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be talking to you live from Hawaii next week. Thank you again so much for listening to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, coaching you towards your professional goals, and I'm wishing you a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to the Misha Rauser Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Join Misha during this hour every week, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., as she takes you down a path toward achieving professional success while still having fun. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues. Misha helps people and organizations be successful, all while staying on a positive path. Tune in next week for the Misha Rauser Show.